Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the spiritual understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, our way of life. If you have your Bibles, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verse number 7. And it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, that word walk in that verse simply means that we live. So we can say we live our lives by faith and not by sight. And that word sight simply means the things which are perceived by our natural senses, things that we could see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. It says, for we live by faith and not by the things which are perceived by our senses. Now, please go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, that's Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and hearing by the word of God is our conduit to faith. It comes by hearing. Our final scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Once again, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, no matter what you do as a child of God, it is faith that pleases God. And by your diligence to seek him, he will reward you for your pursuit of him. Amen. Now, last week, we were discussing belief and faith. And although their meanings are similar, they are different as night and day. Now, before I really understood the difference between faith and belief, I was one of those many people who thought I was operating in faith, but in reality, I was operating in belief. That is why my circumstances in life never changed, because I thought I was in faith, but I was just in belief. Belief is only one side of the coin. And you have to start somewhere, and belief is where you should start. But you shouldn't stop there. Remember, believing will never change your circumstances. Believing will never change your circumstances. And it never changed my circumstances. I was in a perpetual endless cycle, going nowhere. Going nowhere. In a perpetual endless losing cycle. It wasn't until I mixed my belief with my faith and started to diligently seek God that my circumstances started to change. Faith is acting on what you believe. Faith requires action. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse number 33. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says this. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Once again, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So it says, but seek first. So that means there's a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth, etc. Because you never would have used the word first if there wasn't a second or a third or a fourth, etc. He would have just said, seek the kingdom. But he said, seek first. So the first thing we need to do is to seek the kingdom of God. Not our computers, not our web page, not our cell phones. No, it says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. What things? The things the Gentiles sought. And those were clothing, family, prosperity, jobs, professions. He said, all those things will be added unto you. Amen. See, we are to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom of God is the whole spiritual commonwealth of God's children. It is the true company of all faithful people. It is represented by the organized or visible church, but it is more comprehensive and greater than the visible church in any age or all ages. Amen. Now let me repeat that. The kingdom of God, what we seek, is the whole spiritual commonwealth of God's children. It is the true company of all faithful people. We are to seek, and you cannot seek something or anything by just sitting around in your room believing something. Nothing will never happen. You're just going to be sitting in that room until Jesus returns. Seeking carries the sense of determination and purpose. Action, not just a thought, not just thinking something. To seek, you would have to do something, say something. Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God. It's not just believing the kingdom of God. It's okay to believe, and we should start there. It is also doing something about the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek it, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But you will have to do something in order to get it. Seeking implies action is needed, not sitting in a room, in a chair, believing the kingdom exists, because we already know that the kingdom exists, but we have to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. You have to seek it. You have to do something, and that something is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, please go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. The book of Matthew, chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 23 to 26. And it says, now when he got into the boat, Jesus, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. So let's come to an agreement what the word tempest means. And a tempest is a violent storm with high winds, especially one accompanied by rain, hail, or snow. So a tempest is a wild wind, high winds, with rain, hail, or snow. Verse number 25. It says, then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Now just visual the scenario. Jesus was asleep in the boat, taking his afternoon nap. All of a sudden, a tempest arises, and everybody panicked. They ran to Jesus and says, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Now, verse 26. But he said to them, Jesus, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So after he awoke Jesus, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But I want you to notice something. There was not a great calm until Jesus arose and did something. He had to arise and he took action. First, he spoke to his disciples about their faith. He was talking about action. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Jesus called it little faith. Jesus was referring to the action on their part, or their non-action on their part, not just believing something. Amen. And verse number 27, it says this. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, I'm going to get ready to tell you something very important about this, because I'm going to show you where scripture supports scripture. See, the disciples reacted in fear. Jesus responded in faith. Let me repeat that, because I don't want that to go past you. The disciples reacted in fear. Jesus responded in faith. What was their little faith? Their little faith was doing nothing except reacting to the circumstances instead of responding to the circumstances. I pray that you can get that. I pray that you understand that. We have to respond to the circumstances, not react to them. Jesus did believe God's promises to him, that God would do something about the storm. But God did nothing about the storm. Jesus did. It was Jesus who did something. The scripture says he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. That is action. Now, let's look at that. He said he arose. So that means he had to physically get up. And then it says, and rebuked. So he had to speak. He had to say something. That's action. He said he rebuked the winds and the seas. That is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. See, you can believe something, but if you never mix it with your faith to do something, it's just belief. See, we are children of the only true and living God. And we have been given the same authority as Christ Jesus. When Jesus spoke to those winds and seas, we have the same authority to speak to the winds and seas that are in our lives, that are stopping us to be successful in the things of Christ. Amen. Now go with me to the book of John, chapter 14. I told you earlier that scripture supports scriptures. So let's look at the support of scripture in relation to this, in terms of we have the same authority. We have been given the same authority. So John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse number 12. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now let's read that before we analyze it. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus is telling us, he's already given us the authority to do the greater works. To do the greater works. But why are we not doing the greater works? And we're going to get to that in a minute. See, we have been given that same authority, but many of you really don't believe you can do the greater works. If you really did, then you would act on it. I used to be the same way. I wonder why Jesus just didn't do it himself. He can't do it himself. That's the reason why he didn't do it, because he's already given that authority to us. And that is not the way he has designed the system. The system is for us to do it. We have been given the authority to do it. Now go with me to Mark chapter 9 and let's look at this. I think this will clarify a little better for you. Mark chapter 9, and we're going to read verse number 23. And it simply says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, let me repeat that, because this is a very important verse. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, in this verse, if is the qualifier in this verse, which energizes your belief, which in turn activate your faith to act. Let me repeat that. If is the qualifier. If is the qualifier which energizes your belief, which in turn activate your faith to act on something. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And faith is acting on what you believe. So if you can believe it, then act on it. Amen. You can go out there and you can speak to the winds. You can speak to the rain. Amen. When you hear a newscaster giving a negative weather report, go out there and speak against it. Cancel it out in the name of Jesus, because you have been given the authority. All things are possible to him that believe. Amen. And there is nothing left out of all. Amen. We can do it all. Now, let's look at another situation in regards to faith and acting on it. Let's go with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 2. The book of Mark, chapter 2. And it says, we're going to read beginning with verse 1 through 12. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, but not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Then Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his heart that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But you may know that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Verse 12. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Wow. Can you see this? We have four men carrying a stretcher with a paralytic man on, a man that could not walk. And when they found out that the house was crowded and couldn't get into the front door because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and started tearing the roof, the tiles off, and making a hole so they could let him down from the roof. And Jesus seen him. And Jesus seen him. And boy, he said to them, he told the man, he says, "I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house." Amen. Now, go back to verse number 3. It says, when they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, the word they, T-H-E-Y, in this verse is plural, meaning it had to be at least two or more people involved. The Bible says he was carried by four men. So there were five people involved in this undertaking. The four men who were carrying the man on the stretcher and the man himself. When they arrived at the house, they could not get into the house because of the crowd. The Bible said that these men carried the paralytic on the stretcher. They went up on the top of the house and began to remove the tiles until they made a hole large enough to lower the paralyzed man on the stretcher into the room where Jesus was. Now, I would like for you to think with me for a moment. These four men and the paralyzed man must have believed something. They must have believed something, or they would have not wasted their time and the paralyzed man's time by bringing that man down to see Jesus. They wouldn't have wasted their time. Can you imagine that today four people carrying a paralyzed man upon a roof and then opening the roof to lower him down to the presence of Jesus? That man had to believe something. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time, but please join us next week when we continue our teaching on faith, our way of life. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.